Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this teleseminar course. And thank you very much for joining me and everybody else, wherever you are in the world listening to this. I know we have people from all over the world that are tuning in on the website and teleconference. And later on, of course, people that are going to download this too on demand, which is just amazing. You think about technology these days and where it has come from. So I chose my first really teleseminar subject, which many people want to know more information about. So I thought this would be a very good start in a series of teleseminars that I'd like to bring to you, because I think knowledge is power. And I can share with you the many years and experiences that I've had. And all this information which I share with you, of course, is based upon my 35 years as a spiritual medium, communicating with the spirit world, with hundreds of thousands of messages from the spirit world, and also speaking with, communicating with regular, everyday people who pass over, mothers, fathers, grandparents, children, spiritual guides, teachers, philosophers, such as many historical figures, such as Benjamin Franklin and Edgar Casey and Abraham Lincoln, various people, and celebrities have also come through, many different types of celebrities have also come through. So I think it just really comes from that point of view that I share with you tonight, all the information that I understand about soulmates and how to bring soulmate, that energy, into your life experience. So it's just based on my experiences, and I'm going to share that with you. There might be some things that I say to you which I think will resonate within your soul, will resonate as truth within your being, and I'm very happy for that, and that should be that way indeed if it is. And if it doesn't make sense at all, that's fine too. At a later point, it might make sense to you. And that's why I think it's very important that you all have a pad, piece of paper, and a pen to take notes, because in many ways this is like a class and you're attending a lecture, and that's what it is. I have done that every single time I've been to lectures, and I've written notes down at a later date. I find them so beneficial. So definitely I would recommend that you grab a pad, a piece of paper, and a pen, and write down those points, the bullet points perhaps, which you want to look at again or remember or remind yourself about. So there might be things I cover tonight which you'll be completely in shock about, completely never thought of it that way, that perspective of something. And there might be something I say which will say, oh yeah, I've heard that before, that makes sense. Or it might not make total sense at all, just make the notes. Going into that, and before I go more into lecture, I just want to say an opening prayer too. I'm so excited about this. So if you, wherever you are, just close your eyes and connect into your heart space. Whenever you're listening to this, that's fine. It doesn't matter, because you're still going to, if you will, put your mind to the space of the heart, right to the center of your being. The soul is really tucked neatly behind the heart. That's where it lives. That's its place of origin, that space of love. So as you do that, we're going to breathe in into that heart space and just imagine beautiful stardust coming down through the head, and opening up that heart space, expanding that space, expanding your soul vibration, and the atmosphere all around is a beautiful green light. And as you exhale, release and let go of all that energy which no longer serves your highest good. So inhale and exhale, and be centered and be in love. Love, love, love. And inhale and exhale. Love, love, love. Inhale and exhale. Love. Dear spirit friends, guides, loved ones, and angels, we ask you to surround us tonight, wherever we are listening, whenever we are listening to this, and that you will open up our hearts and minds to remember our origin, to remember our soul's truth, to bring into our environment, into our sphere, into the atmosphere that surrounds us, only those positive energies, people, situations, and experiences which are meant for our highest good, expansion, and the evolution of our soul. And so it is. So the first thing I want to discuss really about soulmates, because people want to know what are soulmates. So we, number one, are souls. What are souls? Souls, because we get so caught up in a three-dimensional world and we have certain beliefs and certain limitations in the three-dimensional world, suffice to say that we are light. So as a soul, we are this pure, beautiful light, and this expression of love is what we are, souls. So let's try to drop, if we can, the human aspect, because we get really caught up in stuff when we put in the human aspects into all different types of life. Of course, we are humans. We are souls to have a human experience, not the other way around. So the number first step is to realize the perspective that you are a soul, you are this light, coming down to this earth school. This earth, the human school, is one of many, many schools. The earth world is a hard world, but it's a very valuable world. It's a world, a school with a lot of opportunities. As we take on the human cloth of our existence and we come back embodied in this environment, it gives us those opportunities for our soul to learn, if you will, about human qualities such as compassion and kindness, love and patience and humility and forgiveness and honor. And really, that's what we want to come back and learn, all these lessons. We want to understand them even more. So we take that, and also lessons such as grief, loss, fear, judgment, upset, all these different types of lessons. When we look at those lessons that from a soul point of view, we want to try as best as we can, and again, not only just a lesson, but also life and other people, not to put a judgment on it. When we step into judgment, we're really stepping into fear, because judgment is fear-based. And when we step into judgment and fear-based, fear is not our reality. The source of who we are, our soul's energy, is love. It's pure love. And fear is just the opposite of love. And when we take on fear, which is F-E-A-R, false ego appearing real, it seems that many times we are taking on other people's patterns, other people's ideas, other people's energy, other people's belief systems, other people's judgment, other people's way of living, other people's ideals and thoughts about how to live a successful life. So many of us get caught up in that really never-ending, called the rat race, where you're chasing the dog chasing its tail, where it's trying to be what other people want you to be. And many of us try to live a life that someone else thinks is successful, or we can only find love with someone else's standards. We can only behave a certain way in order to receive love. Not true whatsoever. Don't get caught up in that illusion. Don't get caught up in that judgment, which is from other people. It is not true. You are a loving being. And when you step into fear vibration, fear energy, you're really putting up walls and you're closing down the energy of love. Remember, love is about bringing to you. It's connecting. It's bringing those to the oneness. Those are different, if you will, places to come together as one. Separation, come together as one. When you put fear into the equation, it blocks, it puts a wall up, and that's not who you are. One can never be totally and truly happy if they live in fear. So to live in love. A soul's natural energy is love. So going back to the soul. So before we come back to this earth school, we will be in the other world, the spirit world, the other realm, whatever you like to call it, that's fine, the heaven world, the summer land, doesn't matter what you refer to it, but that is our home. That is where we come from. And for us, we just say the spirit world. So when we're in the spirit world, before we choose to come back to this earth world, this human world, we will sit with our guides and our teachers. And our guides can be those beings who have either come to the earth before or have never touched the earth, can come from different galactic places, different spheres, if you will, and help us, assist us to remembering who we are, to help us remember about love, to loving ourselves, loving others, forgiving ourselves, forgiving others, to understand more of our soul nature and our soul makeup. It is through our soul's experiences that we will grow. And we will sit with these guides and teachers and go through, if you will, the list of the different experiences that will be afforded to us if we come back onto the earth at a certain time. Along with the equation, of course, are those other souls we might have karma with or obligations with or to learn. We call them soul mates. So those are other souls who choose along with us the same times that we work together, because it's not just about our individual soul's growth, but it's also about our soul family, our soul group. So we are connected to a soul family or a soul group. And many times it's our family, our living family now, or the friends, those closest to our sphere, if you will, as we come into this human earth, those are very much our soul mates, who we've had many lifetimes with, experiences with in the past, and we come back with certain groups of people to learn, to understand. And there might be some karmic obligations in another lifetime. you behave a certain way, and they, as a result of that behavior, something happened, and you created maybe a karmic obligation, whether that's good or bad, don't put a judgment on it, it just was the entity that was created then. And in this lifetime, maybe we have to learn the other types of experiences from that lifetime. So, for instance, in another lifetime, perhaps you left early, and the child, the parent had learned about losing, loss, and grief. And in this lifetime, maybe your child left early, and then you have to learn about loss and grief, what that feels like. It's not a punishment, but it is really just a learning. It's a lesson. So we choose these other soulmates through the guidance of our teachers and our angels to go through these various experiences. And it very much is like going to school. What courses are we going to take? What classes will be beneficial for our growth? So we will work that out. And then we will work, of course, with these other soulmates, these other people in our sphere there, and see what the obligations are. And through them and our guidance of the other realms, the teachers, we will actually pick the exact moment of our birth. And we will, it doesn't matter if it's cesarean, if it's natural birth, it doesn't matter because it's destined. The time of birth is destined. And it's destined because our soul has to come in at that particular second because there are planetary, if you will, influences around us, or the planets, the stars, and they will influence the water body, the physical body. And also we beforehand will pick where we're going to come into, the family we're going to come into, where we're born, the city, the country, the position we have in life. And we come back, of course, with all our soul's interests and lessons. So we might come back with an interest in art, or an interest in accounting, or an interest in baking, or whatever it might be for you. You will come back with all of those soul experiences and those gifts, those obligations, and you come back to this earth to experience more things. Again, not judging things, but experience. It's all about experience. So when you come back to soulmate, people often ask about soulmates, or is there one soulmate? And what is the difference between a soulmate, a general soulmate, and a romantic soulmate? Because that's what I want to know about. So I'm going to share with you what that means. So when people say soulmate, I think that it really is more soulmates, those beings we've shared many, many lifetimes with, many, many lifetime experiences with in many lives. So those classmates that you shared many times with, many experiences, and you're learning from each other. And you can recognize another soulmate in this lifetime because it's somebody you feel a sense of familiarity with. You feel like you know them from the inside out. You almost can finish their sentences. You know what they're thinking. You share the same likes and dislikes. You really do complete each other's sentences. It's pretty strange. And you just feel the sense of, I know this person. I feel so connected. I feel so at ease with them. I feel like I've shared something with them before. That's a soulmate. You've had many experiences, and you feel connected. There's like a cloth that you both share, this wonderful cloth, this experience of life. And your viewpoints are very similar. Your opinions are very similar. And you come back to grow. And it also feels when you have a soulmate connection with someone, there's a sense of they're part of me, I'm part of them, which is really true. We are part of each other, especially when you've shared many, many lifetime experiences together. There'll be this sense that you are connected with each other, very, very much so. Now, when we talk about a soulmate regarding a romantic, that's something a little different in that there could be many different types of soulmate, romantic soulmate connection, which means that you could have had several lifetimes, several experiences where you were romantically or emotionally involved with another soul in order to learn affection, love, understanding, humility, patience, forgiveness. So a soulmate on a romantic level might be brought up to obligation, might be brought up to sharing, a partnership, if you will, and looking at life from a partnership. We do share that, not only the soulmate experience, but the romantic, the sense of emotion. There's an emotional connection on a higher level. And that can happen quite often in this lifetime and other lifetimes. And sometimes we skip, if you will, lifetimes where we have that soulmate connection. Something very interesting I want you to also understand, that a soulmate experience, a soul experience, you can have experiences with a soulmate, whether it's just a day that you meet somebody, whether a year, whether 5 years, whether 20 years, it can be a quick friendship. It can just be, I often say, it's a season, a reason, or a lifetime. So when you meet someone, a soulmate, it doesn't mean you have to be together for a whole lifetime, or 80 years, 20 years. It could be just a moment. It could be just a day. It could be several months, a couple of years. It could be friendships that come and then go. What really was most important are the lessons that the souls learned from the time together. Because hopefully you have learned from those experiences and with those people, with those other souls, that they got together with you, came together for learning something about yourself and about each other. So in turn, it'll help you to live in this world and make it a better space and send out a more positive energy. Or looking at something, I'm not going to behave like this, I'm going to behave like that. That's really what it's about. So we have these soulmate experiences, and they can be very quick. They don't have to be a whole lifetime. That's something which I wanted to point out to you, because so many people get caught up in, oh, it's got to be a lifetime of a soulmate. Not necessarily. Every one of you have had soulmate experiences already. If you look back at your life right now, you can see those people in your life, whether they're not in your life anymore, that's fine, who've had a real influence in your life. Those friends of yours, those relationships of yours, whether it's even family or friends. Again, it's that moment, those moments you've learned from each other. And even with family, just because you're connected in a family situation as a soul group does not mean you have to stay connected to them. You can learn from as much as you can, and then that's it. You don't have to stay, if you will, just so out of obligation, I have to stay connected with that family member. Not necessarily. Sometimes it can be the worst thing you possibly do for your own soul's growth. But the bottom line is totally to remember that everything is from love and divine love. You are a divine light being. And the more you can live a life and express that divine light through your soul, through this human body, and connecting, if you will, with the divine self, with your higher self, that all-knowing self, the oversoul self, if you will, whatever labels, just bring that energy, that sense of life, love into your life. It can change your life and every single life that you are influencing by just your presence. Just by your showing up, your energy will tell that other person who you are. You don't even have to say anything. It can just be your presence. It's your energy. I know a lot of you have felt that when you walk into a room, you feel a certain way. When you walk into a room, you can connect, and people can look at you like, wow. Because on a soul level, they'll feel your energy. They'll know your energy. Every single one of us has intuition. Intuition is the soul's language. That's how we communicate. So in the spirit world, when you go back home and you graduate from the school Earth and you go back home, you have a life review and you see all the different lessons that you learned, experiences that you had, the tests that were taken, whether you passed the test, whether you did not pass the test this time, whether you should use more love, understanding, or forgiveness. Well, really, maybe you should have just held on to your own power and not given your power away. Maybe you should have learned how to put up healthy boundaries, if you will. Because many times in life, even for the sensitives, and a lot of you on this phone call will know that you're empaths and you're sensitive, and we get hurt a lot. We don't want to be hurt. We don't want to open up our hearts because we feel someone's going to trample on them. You can learn how to have healthy boundaries and not be nasty to people, not be angry at people, but also honor yourself, empower yourself, being honorable to yourself in a healthy way. So in your life review, you can look at these tests and paths. And how you connect with other souls in the in-between world, in the afterlife, is not verbally. You feel energy. You telepathically connect. That's how you communicate. Your soul communicates telepathically. So, of course, you connect them telepathically in this earth world, in this human world. Remember, the human world is an illusion. It seems like it's solid, but it's really not solid. It's just molecules that are hung together at a certain vibrational rate that are formed what appears to be solid. But it's all energy. It's all frequency of being. That's really what it is. So you will connect with other souls just by the energy. You can feel the energy first. Now, how do you know when a person is right for you? How do you recognize the soulmate that's right for you in your life? Number one, do they resonate with you? What do you feel from them? Is there a connection? Is there a connection with that other soul? Do they enhance your beingness? Do they enhance your life in some way? It really, when you are connected to your intuition, it's like reading it's an open book. You can just be touching that energy of their heart. I often say connect to another soul through the heart space, because that's where the soul is, connecting heart to heart. What do you feel first? So don't think about it. Because if you think about it, then the human part of you is going to get involved. And that's the illusion part. The brain gets involved. And you're going to start rationalizing, you're going to start judging. You don't want to get there. Of course, that's what we're so used to. We've been conditioned to be judgmental. So we don't want to go there. We want to feel the energy of the person first. Feel the energy. You'll know in your gut when it's the one. When you connect on a soulmate level, that soul connection, the energy enhances. It builds up. It's a feeling of, oh, I feel so wonderful. I feel so warm. I feel centered in my beingness. I feel very, very connected. There's no guessing or wondering about it if it's real or not, because you'll know. You'll just know it. There's a telltale sign that lets you know your true love has arrived, and it's that voice in your head. You'll know it. I remember years ago when I was in college, I knew I was going to be with someone, and I looked at them and was like, oh, I know this person. I never had met them before, but I knew them, and sure enough, years later, I was. I was with them, and we were very good friends. And I remember when I was a little boy, I met this lady who I was walking around the corner selling Easter candy for my school, and this car stopped, and this lady looked at me, and the moment I looked at her, I looked in her eyes, and I felt I knew her. And she said, listen, I have a young boy your age. We'd like to be friends with him. We just moved into the neighborhood. Well, yes, indeed, that happened. And I became more friends with her. We connected on a soul level. And my friend was great, but I felt more connected with her. There was this inner sense, this inner knowingness, that I felt connected. The chemistry was right. You'll feel a chemistry, and it feels very palatable. You'll just know that the electricity between the two of you is so real. It really will. In your head, you feel a connection. You really feel a connection. You also feel comfortable with each other. You want to be with someone who you feel comfortable with. And when you're with a soulmate, you feel a connection of comfortability. There's a sense of, I'm the right part, you're the left part, the yin, the yang, the black, the white. There's a wholeness to it. A wholeness comes together. And you also feel very relaxed with that person. You don't put up any airs. You feel so connected that you help each other out. You're good for each other. And when you come together, it's one solid mass. That's what it is. The kind of person who takes risks and shares the inner world with you. It's important that when you meet a soulmate, too, and you'll know it's a soulmate, is because there's going to be a sense that they can be themselves with you, and you can be yourselves with them. They don't have to put on any masks. They just are themselves. They can be vulnerable, and you can be vulnerable. You can just be yourself. You don't have to try to be anything more, anything less. Just be. That's the best thing you can do, is be who you are. When you try too hard to be something that you're not, that's when you will never connect with a soulmate. That's when you will never have that resonation with another being. You just have to be yourself. Don't ever try to be somebody else, because it will never work. So a soulmate relationship, it's really important that you, when you look at each other's eyes, you feel the connection, you look at things the same way, and there's a sense of calmness and a sense of peace when you're connected with a soulmate experience. It's very, very true. So remember, soulmates come together to enhance each other's life, enhance each other's life, enhance the experience, expand the soul experience here on the earth. This earth level, of course, is a hard level, but also the wonderful opportunities. As I said earlier, there are a lot of great opportunities. And sometimes you come together with other souls to have a specific experience, or a specific lesson that you have to learn, or several lessons that you have to learn. And then the time is finished, and then you move on. That's what happens to soulmates. So don't want you to judge it, saying, oh, this person hurt me here, or I should have done that, or whatever. It's just about experiences. It's hard because at the human level, we have a sense of, how could they have done that to me, or I'm not good enough. Don't do that to yourself. That's the illusion. I often say, it is what it is, and that's all that it is. Don't make it more than it is. So it's all energy. It's sharing energy between each other. It's knowing each other. It's understanding each other. It's giving each other space to be themselves and for you to be yourself. That's really what it is. Soulmates connect, you know, when we have that soul that we feel connected with, we're together on other levels. We're so connected. So many people, when I talk to people and they ask me about skeptics and people who don't believe in life after death communication, they say, listen, it's very much like the dog whistle, in that if I blow a whistle and the people around it, they can say, oh, see, it doesn't work. But there could be 100 dogs outside the window who have come because they've heard that. So I believe that at energetic levels, there are other levels that you already connected to a soulmate. The last place that you get connected usually is in the human level. is down this human level when the human has to finally experience it and express it in the physical human way. But on other levels, it happens already. So how does past life experience come and get involved with this? Well, very much so. As I said before, you come back to learn. So you take on different roles to learn different things. I often work with people in my mediumship development classes, and I say, just imagine that there's a stage, and the stage you take on a different role. Maybe it's a grandmother. What does that feel like? Or an aunt, or a son, or a father, or a grandparent. How does it feel to take that on? And what are the roles you're going to play in the world in that particular play at that particular time? Because the play will change, and you'll take on a different role, and you'll learn something, a different perspective by taking on that different role. And sometimes the roles can be on the stage, and sometimes the roles can be behind the stage, and you can watch what's going on. And you can influence the players somehow by the lighting you create or words that you're sending out them. Same thing in the spirit side of life. Those loved ones who we say pass over, there is no death. They're just learning from a higher level, a different level, and they're still involved in your life by sending you, if you will, influences or inspirations or thoughts of understanding and trying to help you out in a level that you'll receive it. Many times we have to get out of our human head in order to hear the spirit. But remember that as a soul, you come back in this life and you learn for as long as your soul signed up for, whether that is going through birth and having the soul experience of birth and then leaving, or going through 10 years or 20 years or 110 years. It should not be looked at as a physical time. It should be looked at as soul experiences. That soul just needs that certain point. Take that many classes, go to that grade in order to graduate and go home. That's what it's about. Really is what it's about. I often say, wow, when I go to funerals or memorial services, I feel a little envy because they got to go home in that time. They need a lot of human time. And that's the way it is. And some lifetimes you stay longer and some lifetimes it's shorter. And it's also, people often ask me then, has it involved with free will or destiny? And does that come into play? And I believe it does. I think that everything, I think, is destined. So before we come back to this earth level, as I mentioned earlier, we sit with our teachers and our guides before we come back, and we go through what I call destiny points. And these destiny points are those classes, those lessons that we have to take for our soul's advancement, that we've signed up for it. So that's it. So the meeting is going to happen. So what about free will? Well, the destiny is, let's say you meet somebody. Now, you meet somebody, you feel a connection. The free will then is up to you. Are you going to stay with that person? Are you going to move on? Do you choose not to see them anymore, to choose to do different experiences? Like, you have free will, what you're going to do with that experience. But the destiny is that you meet. The free will is how you behave with that destiny point. So that's where free will comes into play. So two different things, but of course they both are very much involved. So that's good so that you understand the difference between destiny and free will. Destiny is that you're going to meet up, that there's an actual, you've signed up for this lesson that you come to learn. How you do the lesson, you have free will. If you're going to learn it this time or next time, or how you behave, are you going to use love? Are you going to use fear? That's your free will. You can choose love or fear. That's what you can choose, is love or fear. And that is what life is. Life is a series of choices. That's all it is. Our soul comes back with these lessons, and they're all choices. And all choices are based upon either love or fear. So in order for you to, number one, attract into your life that soulmate experience, you first have to look at your own soul. What is the atmosphere which you're putting on around you? Is that of love or is that of fear? Think of yourself as a radio dial, if you will, and what station are you listening to? So 88.9 is fear and limitation of consciousness and a sense of not loving self, and worrying about what other people think of you, that's total fear-based, and worrying about tomorrow, where 106.7 is complete love and happiness and joy. And look at the two distances then, between the fear and the love. And you can decide where you want to dial into. Remember, everything is energy. So whatever vibration you're going to send out into the universe, you are sending out a message. Listen, I'm a little older than a lot of people. The RKO pictures, when I first came out, I remember they used to have, it was very much like on the top of the world, there was a radio tower, and they'd send out like these waves of energy. I remember as a little kid, I used to see that. And RKO pictures it was. And that's exactly what it's like. It's like, what energy are you sending out to the universe? What do you want to experience? So what you send out with your thoughts, because thoughts are things. So what you're sending out to the universe tells the universe what you want to experience. So you will order exactly what you want in your life by sending out your thoughts. So if you send out thoughts of love, joy, happiness, balance, honesty, that's what you will attract to you. But if you're sending out, I'll never be in love, I'll never have that person in my life, I'll never be fulfilled, never be happy, I'll never have money, I'll never be able to do things, then that's what you're telling the universe you want to experience. So remember, thoughts are things. Thoughts are things. It's important that you know that. In order for you to attract into your life that what you want, again, remember, you're a magnet. You will bring to you that which you put out. So remember, you are a magnet. And what will be attracted to you is what you're sending out. It's a law of attraction. It's a simple law of attraction. But what you're sending out, you will bring back to you. Now, when you're connected, of course, that source energy, a pure loving energy, you're telling the universe that's what you want in your life. You want pure loving energy into your life. And that is what you're sending out. And if you're in alignment with that source energy, that's what you'll attract to you. But when you step away from that alignment and you step into fear, or you step into a reality that belongs to somebody else and not you, you won't be happy because you're not coming from source energy. You're not coming from soul alignment. And that is what you want in order to bring forth those vast soul experiences. And I'm going to tell you that you can only bring in that which you give out again. And pure happiness and love and joy is what you want. That's what you have to give out. Remember, for the universe, there is no time. There is no time, and there is no watch, no stopwatch saying, I need to find a soulmate by next week. Well, it doesn't happen quite that way. It's really in the universe's time, in God's time, not our time. I remember years ago, I did a reading for a woman, and she wanted to be pregnant. And I remember her grandfather came through and said, you'll be pregnant at 42, and you're going to have twins, and you're going to live by the Pacific Ocean. I just brought the message. She looked at me, and I was looking at her. She said, that's crazy. I said, I just am the messenger. Years and years later, she goes, I want a baby now. I want it now. What good is it when I'm in my 40s? So it's in the universe's time. It's not our time. It's the universe's time. Years later, I met her at a party somewhere. She came up to remind me about this. I didn't remember it. And she said, I want you to know my twins are 2 years old. They moved to a house over the Pacific Ocean, and I've never been happier in my life. And she's now, I understand what you mean by it's the universe's time, not human time. The universe's time, not human time. So it's important to me. So I send a lot out to you right now. So I think it's time to do some questions because that's a lot of information that threw your way. Hopefully you are taking it all in. You're writing notes down so you can understand. So here we have a question. And this is from Marlo. Thank you, Marlo, for joining us tonight. Marlo is asking, is it possible to have met my soulmate and screwed things up? A lot of people think that. A lot of people think that. I just have to ask, number one, your soulmate. So you're saying there's one soulmate. No, there's probably more than one soulmate. And I believe that, again, we're going to touch about fear and love. I don't think you've screwed things up. I think it's all about learning. So we talk about screwing things up. We're judging it. We're judging it. We're not good enough. We've done something. Listen, you are a loving being, can attract more of that love into your life. I think you'll attract another soulmate, if you will. If you want a romantic relationship, you can attract it into your life by your thoughts, your alignment with the universe. So I don't think you screwed things up. Tomorrow's a brand new day, so don't put it like that. That's not possible. And another question we have here is from, it's Sylvia from Austria. Sylvia from Austria. Okay. Hello? Sylvia was right there.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I have a question, actually. How about your past, the people that you have already been connected to, do they still have an influence after you have separated, or can you just move on freely no matter what happens?
Well, it's a very good question, and that's one that everybody should know, Sylvia. So that's why I'm sure I went to you. I'm sure there are other influences, like guys who are helping me to do this phone.
And I see.
I think that we have to understand that we come together to learn, right? So we all come together mm-hmm. to learn. And sometimes, of course, the past can help with the future or the present. Many times the lesson is about forgiveness. And in order to find love in life, we have to first forgive ourselves and forgive the people that have had past experiences with. And that's a real big one. In order to have many things in our life, we have to forgive. And the spirit world, obviously, the first step in unconditional love is forgiveness. So, and it's very hard sometimes for people to forgive another person for hurting them. Their heart was, you know, torn apart by someone at an emotional level. But we don't know what their history might have been. Sometimes we don't know what their background as far as emotionally has been. What was their childhood like? Were they never taught about love or compassion or patience or honoring people? So when we meet people, we get a bag load of people, of all these different components that belong to them. And if we try to understand that we are getting not only them right today, but their past history in this lifetime and other lifetimes, but we need to have compassion, understanding, and realize that there's a history there. We also should not take things personally, because a lot of times it's just their stuff. It's not our stuff, but we tend to make it our stuff. So we can learn from those past experiences. And in the future, of course, if you have an experience of the future, you'll know what not to do or how to be in the future, how this has taught you not to behave a certain way or be judgmental a certain way. Hopefully it taught us to be a better person and help with all our relationships. Mm-hmm. Is that good?
Yeah, sometimes you feel like your interest is kind of switched off after a really bad experience.
Exactly right, but we have to remember that's just all experiences, and life is so short. Life is a blink of an eye. So many times in the spirit level of things, they say the human lifetime is so short. If only you would know, you would not behave like you did. Each day is an opportunity for growth. Don't shut it off. So they will often say that.
Okay,
good. Thank you, Sylvia.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
So it's very, very interesting because many of us have had experiences with other souls, whether it's a love that we can't have in life. Many of us had experiences just like that, where it's a distance, a far-distance love, that we experience so many things on an emotional level. We've shared many things or connected in a twin flame way. We really, really understand each other. It's the other half of us, and we can't be together. And yet, what is that? So instead of jumping into fear and judgment, oh, we can't be together, or morally it's not meant to be, or whatever it is, the soul doesn't know about those sorts of things. So let's see what the lessons are to learn from one another. Number one, is this a lesson for him to understand more about himself, to honor himself, to not be in fear, to understand that things come in universal time, not necessarily in this physical time, but the most important thing is how much he loves you or how much you love him. Maybe it's a lesson in trust, that you can trust each other through thick and thin. It's a lesson about trusting each other. It's putting yourself in different circumstances where you can show each other the best that each one could possibly be. And that's more about when it comes to a situation where it's hard to be together, yet you know you belong together, and there's some, if you will, something holding you back, whether it's a physical thing, whether it's another relationship that's in the way, or another people in the way, or a family that's in the way. You have to go through these lessons together of understanding, of compassion, and also believing in one another. It's also many lessons of believing in one another, believing, having faith, trust. That's what it's about. So these lessons will keep on coming up until we learn about trust. We learn about believing in ourselves. We learn about not having fear. They will still come up. So lifetime to lifetime, we might take on those roles of soulmates, those roles who can't be together. In many lifetimes, you have not been able to be together because you haven't learned certain lessons about believing yourself, about having that person honor you, whatever those specific lessons are for your souls. And it's just about learning it. So in this case, I'd say he has to learn more about himself and believing in himself. That's really what it's all about. So that's what I wanted to share with you. Now, I also want to share with everybody out this wonderful thing. I believe that there are no accidents. I believe that really coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. And today when I was preparing for this teleseminar, I was just sitting in meditation, and this came to me that, James, you need to go to your bookshelf, the second shelf, and go to the fifth book from the left. I'm like, okay. And it was really amazing. And I always listen to that intuition because I know it's my soul's guidance system, my soul's GPS. And the book that was there, it was the fifth book in, second shelf, I pulled out How to Love by Thich Nhat Hanh. It was like, wow, amazing. And I just opened up to a page, and I read it, and I thought, this is what I have to share with the group. So this is exactly what I got. So I'm going to read you what I opened this book to, this page. It just opened up to it. So when you listen to your intuition, your soul's guidance system, it will never get you down the wrong path. It just won't. It's your inner knowingness. So this is really perfect for this teleseminar. And it's called A Pot in Search of a Lid. Very often we feel like a pot without a lid. We'll believe that our lid is somewhere in the world and that if we look very hard, we'll find the right lid to cover our pot. the feeling of emptiness is always there inside us. When we contemplate the other person, sometimes we think we see what we feel we lack. We think we need someone else to lean on, to take care of us, and to diminish our suffering. We want to be the object of another person's attention and contemplation. We want someone who will look at us and embrace our feeling of emptiness and suffering with his energy of mindfulness. Soon we become addicted to that kind of energy. We think that without that attention, we can't live. It helps us feel less empty and helps us forget the block of suffering inside. When we ourselves can't generate the energy to take care of ourselves, we think we need the energy of someone else. We focus on the need and the lack rather than generating the energy of mindfulness, concentration, and insight that can heal our suffering and help the other person as well. So that's beautiful, from How to Love by Thich Nhat Hanh, and it's called A Pot in Search of a Lid. And it really drives home that point that there are some souls who just love drama. There are some people around you, look around your life, who loves drama? Who are the drama queens in your life? There's always going to be something happening, some emotion, something going on. They always got to have action. They'll always stir up the pot, if you will. It's always going to be something. And there are some souls that just love the suffering, love the drama, want to go through it, and they think that's how they honor themselves through suffering. They must suffer. It's not true. As a soul, you don't come back here to suffer. You come back here to learn. It's all about different aspects of love. I often think that everybody is a diamond, and with each experience in life, it cuts another facet of that diamond to let through the colors, to let through that light, and shine that light so brightly that you will attract that other being who complements that light. That's truly what I believe soulmates are, complementing the best of you and the best of them. That's really what it is about. So I just want to think about that just a little bit. It really does work. So you don't need to have suffering. Don't need to have the drama. Don't need to have all that stuff. It's so unnecessary. When spirit comes to me, and the many, 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 many times, thousands, thousands, I almost want to say hundreds of thousands of times, the spirit people have come back and said, oh, if only I knew then what I know now. If only I knew on the earth what I know now in the spirit, I would behave so differently. I would have really honored myself and empowered my soul's intuition. I knew everything then. Why did I get my head involved? Why did I judge others? How could I have done that to other people? Why did I put myself in their place? Before judging them, put myself in their place. So it's very interesting how the work that I've done, the books I read, the readings that I do, there's very similar themes that come up, which is loving yourself, honoring yourself, listening to your soul's voice of intuition. And really, believe me, you would not be on this phone call, this teleseminar, if you weren't ready to hear this. There are no accidents. There are no accidents. There are only ways of being. Another call I have, there's a question here from Christina. Christina, how do you work with your soulmate to keep the relationship together? That's great. So nobody can fulfill you if you can't fulfill yourself first. So number one, you have to learn that no one out there can fill you up, to fill up the void. You have to yourself honor yourself first and love yourself enough. No one can love you more than you can love yourself. And you really have to get to that point that you love yourself enough that you are vulnerable. You're able to be vulnerable, be yourself, show the soft side. It's okay. It's okay to do that. When you're with a soulmate, when you're in a relationship, you have to share. You both have to willing to, again, enhance each other, open each other, and talk, communicate. Again, we'll know inside our gut if it feels right, if there's honesty, if there's trust, if there's a sense of being able to confide in one another. You'll know that within your being because you'll be able to speak without words. You'll be able to feel the energy. So remember, you have to enhance, always enhancing each other's experience here on the earth by sharing, opening up, asking opinions. What do you feel about this? And being vulnerable. Vulnerability is really, really hard sometimes. It's so hard sometimes to be vulnerable. We also have to learn also and let go of the past. You can't live in the present if you haven't let go of the past because so many times we hold on to resentments and we have to let go of that sense of self-pity and resentment and start being grateful. A sense of gratitude for what we've learned from our exes, from our partners, from our friends before. what wonderful lessons have we learned from them to make our life fulfilled? So just start noticing the small things, not the big things that are constantly occurring around, but the small little things, and appreciate more. Appreciate kind gestures, words of encouragement, and focus on the positive things, not the negative things. So that's that, Christina. I'm going to say for you there. Another question we have from Fran. Fran, is it possible to keep your soulmate away if you have a belief there isn't someone for us? Yes. Fear, feeling not good enough, not worthy enough, not loving yourself enough, that's where you can send out that message to the universe. I'm not worthy to receive. And that's exactly what you'll have. You'll block that energy from coming to you. It's all energy. So it's, what energy are you putting out to the universe? What is the energy you're putting out? Do you want someone to come close to you, to be with you, to share? But if you don't feel worthy of yourself, if you don't have a wonderful atmosphere around yourself, if you don't feel love of self, how could someone come in to love you? How can someone come into and share that light? If you don't have your light on, how can they see you? Oh, I like that. Hold on. If you don't have your light on, how can they not see you then? How can they see you if you don't have your light on? You got to shine your light. The more love you put out there is what you're going to bring back to you. So you can indeed limit the experiences by not loving yourself and putting out fear. So that's a big answer yes to you there. So what someone else gave? Oh, Rocco. Rocco wants to know, so what is the element of fear play in meeting our soulmates? I was just talking about this. So letting go of fear. So how do you let go of fear? Well, number one, you have to recognize it. So in order to let go of fear, it's important that you recognize and embrace the fear. Okay, oh, this is what I have an illusion of being afraid of. And then you have to ask yourself, how is this energy of fear holding me back from my truth? How is it pulling me away from center? I have to honor myself. I think that many times fear-based information is because of what other people think of us. We really want to be loved by other people, so we'll do anything we can to be loved. We'll be a whole new person if we have to. I mean, I look at Hollywood. My goodness, people with what they do to make themselves be accepted, and it's amazing to be younger, or to wear the right clothes, or have enough money, or have a nice car. It's just incredible because it's not true. It's just the illusion, you see. So you have to be willing to really embrace it for what am I afraid of? What am I holding back? Am I giving away my power so easily? That's very, very important. When you confront fear and acknowledge what it is, you can have an honest conversation. You can see it for what it is and learn to use it. And ultimately, remember, and this is for everyone here, a partner that comes into you, a partner or a soulmate, is really just a reflection of you. If you think that you're the mirror and all those people in your life will mirror what you're experiencing, what you need, you will bring into your life. So that is exactly very, very true, that you're a mirror and guide to help you complete the journey to believe in yourself. So all those people who come into us, into our life experiences, are those souls who are helping us to complete our journey. Okay, so there we go. So back to my lecture just a little bit here. I just want to talk to you a little bit about if my relationship, people often think that the relationship, it's not all rainbows and butterflies, and there's a lot of challenges. Now, a lot of people that are listening to this teleseminar right now thinking, you know what, my life is difficult. I have a hard time with people. I don't understand relationships. It's not smooth sailing. So I need to let you know that a soulmate, having a soul experience, isn't always meant to be just positive. So sometimes, and I wouldn't want to put a judgment on that. I wouldn't want to say, you know, negativity. It's just experiences. If we can pull back from the judgment and see it as an experience, then we'll go much further. When we stay in judgment, remember that's fear-based, so we're blocking experiences to happen. We're not in alignment with source energy. So we have to remember that it's just about learning. Sometimes the most important lessons and the most difficult ones that we have. And the people in your life right now, the people around you in your life right now who are the most difficult people for you to deal with, many times it's family, which of course you have your closest soul obligations and soul karmic relationships with is family. And then it goes out from there, the sphere of family, friends, partnerships, of course, employment, all around. So these are souls that you're learning from, that you're teaching. So the ones that you have the most difficult times with, they are the ones you're growing the most from. And the most amazing challenges we have in our lives are the most incredible opportunities for our soul's growth. It sounds very, very strange, but it's very, very true. you don't know what the light is about if it's when sitting in the darkness. You have to sit in the darkness for a little bit in order to embrace the light. It's very, very true. What value could you give to that light, that love, if you don't have it? You first don't have it, then you'll know what it's about if you don't have it. And then once you have it, you can experience what it truly is. And that's what it's about. We have to learn both sides of the coin. It's very, very important. So those people in your life are the most difficult people. They are your greatest teachers. I also often will say, because the two biggest delusions we have in this three-dimensional world, the first is death. There is no such thing as death. And the second is a sense of separativeness, that we're separate from one another, when indeed it's not true. We're actually connected to one another. We're very, very connected to each other. And I know this because I had a near-death experience. I had near-death experience several years back. And I remember as I left my body and I looked down, I completely had this awareness of, okay, I'm out of time and space here, and I don't know why I'm out of my body, but I'm out of my body. And I looked down, and there was blood on the floor. My head hit the counter, and I went unconscious, and it came in the body. I was like, uh-oh. And I knew it wasn't my time to go. I knew it was not my time. It wasn't my destiny to leave the human world at that time. But I knew I had to learn something. And immediately I had an awareness that I was connected to every other being, every other person. I knew that above everybody's head, if you will, was this cord of light, this cord of energy, which connected into a tapestry, this human tapestry. And I knew that my thoughts were seen by a color, a texture, a vibration, if you will, and that bled into that tapestry, and it formed a certain pattern in that tapestry. And I knew at the end of our lives, we have this life review, we look back at that tapestry. We look back at what we did to influence the colors, the texture, the patterns in that tapestry by our thoughts, by our behaviors, by the power of our words. And did we create a beautiful scene in that tapestry? Or was it one really ugly? Yeah? And I knew then that, oh, wow, we're all connected. And no one is better than anybody else. We're all connected to the oneness, this one energy. So bring that back now to our current life. In our current life, when you see somebody in your life, when someone comes into your life, they're there for a reason. A reason is they're going to teach you something or you're going to learn something. That's it. You're going to learn something or teach something. So that's really what it is. And I would say the quickest way for you to learn and for you to receive is love. That vibration of your soul, that truest essence of who you are is love. The oneness, the loveness, that's it, and you're connected to it. The more we can be in that oneness of love and centered in that heart energy, the easier experiences will be. Even though you have hard experiences, you can look at them from a very different perspective, one of love, understanding, of awareness, of a sense of mindfulness, okay, that I'm connected to everybody, and how I think of that person, what I say about that person, the words that come out of my mouth, have power. And I can use them to build up, or I can use them to destroy. And if I know that I'm connected to every single other person, that I'm influencing with my words, there's a sense of responsibility, there's a sense of mindfulness, that I can really create with that person an awareness, an atmosphere, and I know that what I'm giving out I will get back. So really it is an amazing awareness to have that your words, your thoughts influence that person's life and the person's situation. And something else you should realize, I like to call it the rippling effect. The rippling effect is when you give it a thought, a word, an experience. You say something very positive perhaps to somebody, but it also could be something negative. Maybe you say something discourteous or not very nice. In the ether is when you're sending out the energy just doesn't stop right there. The energy extends and influences other people. So if you have positive things and loving things, that energy will soar and fly. Negative things, nasty things, judgmental things, if you say them or think them, they have a limited perspective. They have a limited range, if you will. And that's something you should just be aware of, being mindful of how your thoughts, your words, and your experiences, how you think about a situation, you're in control. You're in control to bring your life up to a higher level of awareness, an expansion that your soul can experience, and bring into the environment and the atmosphere around you those other souls who will enhance your life experience. You can bring them into you just based on what you think. The atmosphere that you're creating around you, remember, you're the magnet, bring that into you. That's what happens. Now, can we have soulmates in the physical earth, but also in the spirit world? Indeed, you can. There can be soulmates that you have they've had lifetimes before, they've experienced this in many lifetimes, who you're not with in this current lifetime, but are still in the ethers of the spirit world on the other side, and their time now with you is to work with you from the other side of life. Because from the other side of life, there are those spirits, those beings who are your guides. You've had a soulmate connection on the physical earth or not. But in the spirit world, they can help to influence situations to happen. They can help you, if you will, to realize the best within you. They can help in some way to influence other souls coming into your life experience. They can help you to understand your soul's consciousness, your soul's awareness, your soul's gifts and abilities. And they can do that from the other side of life. I often am very, very aware when I work as a medium that I am merely the puppet. I'm really just being influenced by those from the higher spheres, from the higher realms, and they are the puppet masters. And the more we can be open to that instrument, if you will, and that loving energy from the side of the spirit, the more connected we'll be with our soul consciousness, our soul awareness. So it's very important to have that mindset about you, that you are so much more than just this human body. It's many times spirit has often said to me, you know, when the humans ask, what am I? You know, they say, well, look at your body. You are really just a small foot of your soul. This human body is just a very small part, 10% of who you are as a soul. 10%, 20% is contained in that human body. But there's 80% or 90% outside the human body. You're so much more alive and aware on the higher levels, if you will, or other levels beyond the human spectrum. So that's really important. And that what you create with your thoughts will eventually end up in the density of the human consciousness. And that's why I often think it's really about love or fear. So I'm going back to that in that love is the fastest vibration energy we have. It's the fastest, it's the strongest force, it's the most powerful force. It brings together, it attracts where fear separates. Fear sends away. Fear blocks. It's also true whether you have childhood experiences, we've had some abuse issues or some psychological issues or medical, whatever it is. Remember, you're a physical being, a spiritual being, a mental being, an emotional being. And when one of those bodies are thrown off, so let's say it's an emotional situation that happened when you're a teenager or a young person and you're still not forgiving, it's going to create an imbalance in the emotional body, which in turn creates an imbalance in the physical body and the mental body. You're thinking about it all the time. You want to work out. And really, in the spiritual body also, you give up on faith, you have no trust. It throws things off. And that really is imbalanced. And eventually that will come back to, if you will, the dis-ease, because love is ease. Love is flowing. Love is the energy that flows in and out, in and out. But when you introduce an element which is not of love, let's say which is of fear and limitation of consciousness, you're blocking the energy from flowing. You're blocking. And I find with a lot of my readings that the person I'm reading cannot forgive a family member, cannot forgive a partner that they used to have, a divorce or an ex, or cannot forgive someone, their friends or someone they worked with. Not good. Not good to hold on to that energy because you're blocking the life force coming through. You're stepping back from your sphere. You're not being in alignment with your soul energy. So you really want to come back to love and forgive those people because that's the right thing to do. You know, fear, false ego appearing real. Don't give fear the energy. What people do to you, you know, really it's their karma, but how you react is your karma. And it's very, very true. Wayne Dyer said that. Other philosophers have said that before. I hear that all the time. How people treat you is their karma. How you react is yours. So you're responsible for your own happiness. You're responsible for your life. The choices that you made, you can say, well, you know what? I had a really bad childhood. Well, hopefully you learned something positive from that experience. And maybe you don't want to behave like that. Maybe you don't want to be like that. And that really would help. So we have to learn from the past in order to live in the present. The future is really about how we want to create it. And you create that future event, the future events, the future experiences, the situations, the people, by first loving yourself, honoring yourself, sending love to yourself, really being vulnerable, being truthful with self and honest with self, and you're sending out, if you will, envision those qualities that you want in another soul to come to you. Let's say you want a soulmate in a romantic way. What kind of qualities do you want to have in that soulmate? You can either visualize this, you can write a story. I always write a letter. have people write a letter to their soulmate that they want in a romantic relationship or a partnership. Write a letter of who you want, what qualities you want in that individual, what you hope to accomplish in your lifetime with that individual. That's really, really a good one. What can you learn from each other? What significant lessons and growth patterns do you want to share in lifetime? How will they enhance your life? How will they make your life better? How will they enrich your life? How will they make your life more calm and balanced and productive? Now, you and your partner might have separate identities, that's fine. And don't ever give up who you are, because you will draw to you that essence, that other being who is actually going to be the right to your left, back to your right. Opposites attract. Together you create the wholeness of being. Together you create the oneness. That's what you want. When it comes to true love, remember, you always can. When it comes to true love, it's worth the wait. You know you've known each other for years, but you suddenly, you know, this is something that happens quite a bit. You've known each other for years, and suddenly something happens, and you see a different aspect of that person, of that, because you're ready for love. Maybe the many times before, the years before, you weren't in that space. You weren't in that place to receive love in the way it was meant to be for you to receive it. So just think you're in a different time and a different place now than you were before. So there you go. I just wanted to know that. So also besides that, just visualizing and writing a letter to your partner, you can also, I do this, tell my people this all the time also, what you can do is you can create a day in the life. A day in the life of you sharing it with that other soulmate. What is your day like? From the beginning when you wake up in the early morning, what is your day going to be like? And go through an exact day with all of the different situations of the day. Perhaps you go out shopping, getting gas in your car, going away and seeing some friends, having phone conversations, going on your computer, doing emails. That's fine. Imagine. Use the imagination. The imagination is very powerful. Imagination is another tool of the mind of how you can express to the universe your desires of what you want. You're sending it out visually. You're sending it out. You're creating it with your thoughts. A day in the life of my soulmate. A day in the life of my soulmate. And that's what you really want to send out to the universe. You want to have that. So it's very important that you know what you want. You should be as specific as you possibly can with the type of individual you want. It's really, really important that you know exactly what you want, going down to the hair color, going down to the personality traits, going down to the qualities. And that's why I say a day in the life, going down to how you live your life together, situation, whether it's a romantic relationship is really what I'm referring to. But that's what you want, to really put that specifically. Don't leave it general. Don't do that, because the universe will give you exactly what you put out. So be as specific as you possibly can. And how is that relationship going to enhance your life? That's very, very important that you get that too. I'm going to say one more thing, which is lovely, by this book, I mean, the author Osho. A lot of you might have heard of Osho. And when you're with somebody, a soulmate, remember, as you're bringing that connection with that person, you're being vulnerable, you're being yourself, and they're going to love you for just who you are, not who you pretend to be, but who you are, the truest and intimate essence of yourself. So when you have intimacy, as Osho says, this lovely author, intimacy means that there is no privacy. You don't carry anything private now, at least with the person you are intimate with. You drop your privacy. You are nude and naked, good, bad, whatsoever you are. You open your heart. You will open your heart up to life experiences and let your heart sing. Let your heart sing. And whatever the cost you pay for it, whatever the trouble you go through with it, this brings growth. So it's all about soul growth. It's all about spiritual growth and bringing your spirit, your soulmate closer to you. See the day in the life and do it every day. Maybe send out a silent prayer. A silent prayer every day you can send out to and to the universe. Also, do a prayer, a meditation. Again, visualize the same type of situation, experience that you're having over and over again. Bring it closer. And let it just, then don't threat. Don't worry, because then when you worry, when am I going to see this person? When am I going to be with this person? You're sending up signs. You're sending up signals. I'm sending them away. Sending them away. You're pushing them further away. You don't want to do that. When you have your visualization, when you have the day in the life, when you know the qualities that are the soulmate, bring them in, send it out to the universe, and then let it go. Each day, if you want to, you can find, you can visualize it, but don't put anything out. When is this going to come to me? Don't put desperate energy up. Desperate energy equates to fear energy. It blocks you. You don't want that. So the next step towards manifesting your soulmate is visualizing what you want and know that it's coming your way. It is coming your way in universal divine timing. In universal divine timing. It's meant to be. Remember, God, the universe says yes. The human says no. The human always limits every single day. See every single day how often you limit yourself by judging yourself, by criticizing yourself, by listening to other people, how other people think of you. Just make a list of things that you give away your power. How often do you give away your power? It's about honoring yourself, empowering yourself, believing yourself. It's very important that you can transform and know that you have everything that you need to transform your life and bring to your life the relationships, the other soulmates, the other people into your life that will enhance your soul's experience and enhance their soul experience. It's very, very important. And you will see dramatically, when you do this, it'll dramatically liberate your life by increasing all of those beings, those soulmates, those experiences, everything you desire to come into your life, if you allow it. If you say to you, I'm letting this in, that's fine. So there we go. We're going to get more questions here. We have a lot of people coming in, of course, from all over the world, and we're going to go right now. We have a question from...
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
It's Susan.
Oh, Susan. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Hi, Susan. Do you have a question?
Oh, yes. Thank you. I want to ask, and I know you kind of touched on this a little bit. I was married for, well, I'm still married.
I love that.
But I met my soulmate when I was married for about 29 years. And he's married also.
It happens a lot.
Okay. It's very difficult and hurts, you know, really. And I was just, and I feel like he's helped me so much. I'm wondering if they're helping you, and I think, oh, do I help him at all? Is it kind of a two-way street, or?
Yes. It's a two-way street, and you've been together, obviously, many, many lifetimes, and you've shared different roles in different lifetimes. So there might have been some lifetimes where you're together. There were some lifetimes where you were the man, he was a woman. Some lifetimes you might have just been friends, but you've been shared many, many experiences, and that's why you feel there's such a connection with each other. And you can learn everything you can from each other, whether it's about being together physically, being able to be together or not be, or mentally being together, or being together but distantly far away, physically far away. But it's connecting on a soul level. And that's really what the lesson is, connecting on a soul level. And not bringing fear into it, knowing that you're always going to be with each other, you're going to see each other. It's not limited to the physical time either, by the way. It's almost like a compliment.
Oh, I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
I said that's not limited to the physical time that we're here on the earth, because you'll always be together. You can be together outside the physical world. Outside the human world, you'll be together too. The energies always find each other, and you're here to enhance each other, enhance each other's lives. So we don't necessarily need to be together physically to do that either. A phone call, an email, it's just sending that loving energy and understanding. It's hard sometimes because we have other obligations. You're married, there's an obligation, other obligations you have to go through. The most important thing is to step back and seeing it as a perspective of that love is there and will always be there. You might not be able to share it in a couple of relationship here, but we still have that soul connection. That's the most important thing. Okay?
Is that why it's never really, for me, it's never really talked about? It just is?
It just is because you've had many, many experiences. And on a soul level, you'll feel that with another individual. But even if it's down to a friend, also like a soulmate who's a friend, you'll feel this connection. And you don't have to say anything. You know, you feel that, oh, I feel like there's a familiarity that you share. And no words can even express it sometimes. And
right.
That's what we have to hold on to. We have to hold on to that energy because that's what's real. Love. That's it. It's love. Whether you can experience love in a partnership, being married, or just across country, or just in a friendship, it's that love energy. And that's what you want to do. You want to remember that. Okay?
Yeah.
So don't go to the part of we can't be together, we can't share anything. You share a lot with each other. You share a lot with each other.
Yeah, it's the biggest love I've ever felt in my life.
Yes.
I can't even explain it, I guess.
Yeah, that's great. Wow.
Yeah. Okay,
right.
Just...
Well, thank you, sweetheart. Okay, nice, and I hope that helps you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye, honey. Okay, we have Margaret, area code 512.
Okay. Hello.
Hi, Margaret. Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I guess this is very exciting. I'm just wondering, like, I've been single for a long time, and
you've been single for life. How has that been, being single?
Being single for a long time, you know, it does get lonely. I mean, like, I don't feel like I'm coming from a desperate place. I feel like I have a lot to offer, and, you know, like, it's not like, why wouldn't anybody want me? But I am at an age, I'm older. It feels like there's not a lot of availability for a conscious partner that I'm seeking. You know,
don't limit the universe, number one. Don't limit the universe.
Okay.
Well, up to the gas station tomorrow and meet somebody. So things happen.
I know it's always possible. I guess that's what I'm trying to ask, because it just feels like, you know, I feel like I'm putting good vibrations out there, but then, you know, I'm not really seeing a manifestation of the romantic relationship that I'd like.
Perfect.
I've had lots of soulmates. I mean, like, you know, my dogs, I have best friends. I'm really blessed in my life with my family, you know, my close family that I grew up with and my friends.
Okay.
I'm really blessed. I'm basically a happy person. But, you know, I would like to share my life with someone, and that feels a little elusive.
Right. So, number one, we don't want to be desperate, right?
Right.
Right. We don't want to send out that energy.
Agree.
Right.
Yes,
and
agree.
So we want to learn, we want to understand what we've learned from being with ourselves in solitude. So going deeper within that, so tonight I'd love for you to, you want to do a light meditation and then take a piece of paper, a pad, and start writing. What are the lessons do you learn, your soul learned, by you being by yourself? What lessons? And go deep within that. And maybe there's something that needs to be healed on some level you're not even aware of at a conscious level yet. But there might be some aspects of your soul, what's in the past life experiences, something about your soul that needs to be healed or brought into balance or brought into oneness before you're able to receive another expression of somebody else. So just for yourself, so it's not easy to answer a general blanket answer for, because each individual soul comes back with their own specific lessons. So this is obviously many lessons about self-love, self-trust, honoring yourself, whatever it might be. I don't want to put things into your head. But you need to go into that state of, it's meditative state, and realize that that love is out there. It's not elusive. It's not going to hold itself back from you. And just if you put it, it's going to come to you exactly what we've been talking about. What do you want? If you can visualize it, see the qualities that you want. How do you share a day in the life with that person? Do all that.
Okay.
And tonight, I'd love for you tonight to start with just going, bring yourself into a meditative state. You can do that. Yeah, I know you can do that. Just bring yourself to your heart center. And just and when you get to a certain space, just open up and say, what is my soul? What is this experience teaching my soul? Why am I in this solitude? Why am I by myself? And just start writing things down. Don't judge it, okay? Just start writing really quick, okay?
Okay.
And then I want you
to read
it over and just see that. And then read it over in a couple of days, too, because then you'll have a different perspective.
Okay.
All right, and don't slam the door. Everything is possible. Tomorrow, you know, you could stop a stop sign, and all of a sudden someone hits your car from behind, and you go out, and it's the love of your life. There's all different ways the universe works, so don't give up. I'm not giving up on you. Okay, Margaret.
You.
Blessings.
Thank
okay,
you so much.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to go to Kristen.
James?
Yes?
Hello from Carmel, California.
Oh, I thought it was Salinas, California.
Well, I live in Salinas, which is...
I'm jealous.
I know, and I'm just going to say, I know that your house is, like, hanging out there, but I think you need to come this way.
Oh, well, I was in Carmel a little while, 2 years ago.
I know, I was there.
Oh, you were there. Wasn't it great?
I was there, and it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's I have a two-part question for you.
Okay, I'll answer one. Now go ahead. Go on.
Okay. You were talking about when you're younger and you have experiences that are difficult, be it family, whatever.
Learning.
So that is part of your experience of being here on Earth, correct?
Correct. You chose it.
I chose it. So,
yes.
I chose to be in an airplane crash with my father at the age of 17.
Yes.
And I chose to have a near-death experience.
Yes.
I also chose from the age of that to... No, okay, so we're going to go back here. This is what my question is. I had no idea how to navigate that after that accident.
Sure, of
had
course.
No help from my family, no support.
Yeah.
I was out there on my own. How does a young person learn to find love?
Well, hold on one second, Kristen. You're jumping all over. Let me ask one thing.
Okay.
What did that teach you about yourself when you went through those experiences? What did it teach you about yourself? Did it teach you strength?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it takes extreme experiences.
But also loneliness. Deep, deep disconnection from everything.
Loneliness. Okay.
Well,
let me throw it back to you. So
okay.
Let me throw it back to you. So when you have an experience like that, which is a spiritual experience in my belief system, a near-death experience, a plane crash, seeing a death, that to me is a spiritual experience. And it forces us to kind of have a relationship with our own spiritual self, our own soul, if you will, which many times can be, I don't say lonely, but I want to say there's a solitude there. So
right.
I think the most, in some ways, the most spiritual people are, I don't want to say lonely, but I want to say solitude. There's a sense of
right.
solitude because no one can see it from your point of view. And
right.
when you have that perspective that, you know what, I understand it helps empower yourself, that you have the power. No one can see it your way. No one can understand it your way. And you can never expect your family to be there, your friends to be there, because they don't have the experience like you have. You're unique with that experience. So they can't be there for that. You have to go through it yourself. And you're the better off for it. You're much better off for it. You have a very different perspective of life and death than you ever would have if you didn't have those two experiences. Correct?
That's absolutely true. So
yeah.
My whole life has been about trying to enmesh the experience here on Earth, learning to love. I mean, I can love others.
Right.
I'm a love ball. I mean,
gotcha. Gotcha. I understand it. I know exactly what you're going to say, so because I'm psychic. I know this. So let me tell you what I'm going to say to you. And for everybody that's listening,
psychic.
Too, it's a good one. It's a good one. So this is how we're going to do this. So we get caught up in the past. A lot of us get caught up in the mindset of the past, and whether it's what people did to us, what they didn't do us, their family wasn't there, our friends weren't there, there was no support system, if you will, things people did to us. And we hold on to those past hurts and those resentments, and sometimes hard for us to forgive. And then a lot of us worry about the future in that I'm not going to have the love in my life, that soulmate's not going to come to me, I'm not worthy, I'm going to be alone the rest of my life. And we worry about the future. So we're putting our thoughts and our energy to the future. So we have the past that's influencing us, and we have the future. Instead of what we want to do is live for this moment right now and be in charge of this particular moment, live in the present moment. So having a mindfulness about this moment right now. And through this moment right now, we can create future events with a purity, if you will, with an essence of truth, and not having the background, not having the past influencing it, but right in this moment. So we can, every day is a brand new day, and we can create our tomorrow by living in this moment right now, the fullness of this moment. That's the best we can do. And living the fullness of that experience of what it is and what we want, and sending that out to the universe, even if we want to have a sense of a mindfulness and project in the future, that's fine. We can project the life we want. We can have those wonderful visualizations of the soulmate we want, the life we want to live, perfect, the day in the life of. That's fine. You're living in the moment by sending that out to the universe. So it's not worrying about the future. It's bringing it in. It's enveloping ourselves with that. Okay. We have Patrick, area code 541 in Medford, Oregon. Hello, Patrick.
Hi, I think you're talking to me, and that would be Tricia. Hi,
Tricia.
So what I want to know is if you I understand about unconditional love for yourself so that you can be unconditionally loved, but how do you get there?
How do you get there? Well, what I just said to Kristen was living in the moment, being mindful of this moment now, loving everything about this moment right now, having an awareness and a respect for life around you, whether it's walking outside, whether it's and looking at the trees and So that really will help you to have a respect for life, the source of life, have a sense of gratitude and a sense of joy. You know, joy is part of the journey, J-O-U-R-N-E-Y, joy, J-O-Y. Joy is part of the journey, and it's finding that joy in all the little things around you and having that sense of gratitude, and that changes up the energy that supports you in the energy of unconditional love. That's the beginnings of it, is having that sense of love all around you. There's a prana, life force, energy of every living thing all around us. And when we can attune ourselves to that oneness of the life force on every living thing, then we're in. And then we can have a different respect for ourselves. And it's not the human level. It's a soul level. It's a higher level. So start with that, okay?
Yes, I will. But one other thing. If you get in, loving yourself, and then you put boundaries around your life and around what goes on with other people in your life, people you're connected
to. What do you mean boundaries? What do you mean about boundaries? So you're saying
healthy
boundaries?
Healthy boundaries. If you are connected with people who aren't kind, and you say, I love you and I wish the best for you, but I got to walk away, even if you're my cousin,
fine,
sister,
perfect,
whatever.
Perfect.
Is that okay?
Of course it's okay. If you're not going to, you need to say goodbye. You know, you can't be so good that you can't say goodbye. If someone, you can't be the doormat when people walk over you. That's like, even if they're family members, even if you're married to somebody, can't do that. If they're not honoring you, then bye-bye. And we're talking about you have to love yourself enough. And you have to, if in a loving way, not judgmental, not hurting somebody, but they have to respect you. They can't take advantage of you. They can't hurt you. They got to love you. They got to empower you. And that's what you want. And you don't want to fall down to a certain level of, a lot of us live other people's stuff, and they project a lot of their stuff onto us, and we internalize it, and we make it our stuff, when it isn't. It's their stuff. But we have to have enough strength and belief and love of our own self to say, guess what? I'm not taking that behavior anymore. I'm saying bye-bye to that because I'm better than. I'm better than that. I'm not going to be dragged down. And whether it's a cousin or a partner, you have to be loving yourself enough to say bye-bye. That's not working for me. If you're not empowering me and we're not empowering each other and it's not a balanced relationship, then so long. Life is too short. Life is too short. Does it make sense?
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Total sense.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay, sweetheart.
Okay.
Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Jane.
Okay. Uh-huh. I'd like to cover a little bit now in the lecture about how to get messages and guidance from the spirit on your path to love, because, of course, I work all the time with the spirit world, and I can't begin to tell you the energy, the essence, the incredible feelings I get when the spirit world is around me. And your loved ones, remember, love, like life, continues on. You can't stop love. Love is the connection that binds us all together. And that soul love, that soul connection through lifetimes of experiences always stays there. Whether they're in the body, whether incarnate, which means in the body, or discarnate, which is outside the body, love is love is love. So that's really, really important. That expression of that energy is there. So in order for you to feel the love of all your loved ones around you, whether it's guides or teachers or family, it's an energy which you have. It's not outside you. It's within you, and it enhances you. So I just want to maybe give you some tools and ways to get messages and guidance from the spirit to return to love. Number one, I often use a beautiful space in the heart. The heart space, that beautiful green light. I call it the green light of the heart. And what I do is this. I will bring myself to a meditative state. And whether that's through counting numbers and bringing energy in, I open up to my heart space, as I did the very beginning of this teleseminar, and I open up more with each breath, each inhalation. I expand the heart, the space of love, compassion, kindness. And I'll just meditate on those words, kindness, compassion, humility, oneness, balance, empowerment, honor, whatever those words are, you can even put them in front of you and just breathe them in and let go of any past energies and hurts, resentments that you're holding on to that no longer need to hold you back and that no longer need to hold you back from being inspired by spirit. Yeah? So with that meditative state, just bring yourself there. I often will connect my heart and use my imagination and see a green ray of light connecting above my head to a distant star. And then that star will illuminate. And I bring my mind, because remember, your soul travels, and you can travel outside the body. The only thing that's keeping you within the body is the mind. So you want to bring your mind out and just go to that distant star. imagine that you're going to this star. And as you get closer and closer, that star illuminates and expands and becomes more open, more open. And you become part of that light, that starlight. You become part of that luminosity. And then what I want you to do is I want you to feel the guides, your loved ones, and feel their love. Feel their love. I want you to feel each one's love. You might want to characterize it, but when we start characterizing, we get into the human part. So we don't want really to stay too much in that human part. We want to just feel the degrees of love, the love that they have. Remember, love is an enhancement. It brings about an empowerment. It's love is sent. Love knows love. Love knows love. Just remember that. Love knows love. So there are going to be those beings around you, those guides around you, those loved ones who passed over, who support you and hold you up. Just feel their love as you're in that starlight. And you might have a vision of them. You might feel them, see them younger. They might appear younger to you. There might be a characteristic of them that comes to you very, very clearly. Just ask them to receive their love. And as you receive their love, let them set up with you a signal, a sign that you know when they're in your space and when they're sending you at love. And you can ask them, what aspect of my soul was I learning about with my relationship with you? What was their obligations, their soul lessons we had to learn from one another? How did our connection help each other to grow and expand, to understand? And you'll listen, you'll hear it within your heart. You'll hear it because that's how a soul communicates. A soul communicates telepathically. A soul communicates in a sense of knowingness. So just feel the different messages of love coming in. Then, I'm going to tell you something which is really interesting. As you do that, you might find, and this is really, really hard sometimes for people, but when people pass over in your life, and your, let's say, family or friends or partners or even children, we tend to look at them as the human that they were, how we knew them as a human. But in the soul level, it's so different. How we know soul to soul is very different than human to human. So what you want to do is many times when the spirit comes back to me and I bring through messages, these souls come back and I relay messages, it's all about love. And many times, but I wish I loved you more when I was living on the earth. I didn't love myself enough, so I couldn't love you. I wish I would love you more. I didn't know what it was about. Please forgive me. And they really have this sense that, oh, I want to do the best I can next time. And they come around you, and they guide, they help, and they influence you. I cannot tell you how many messages of love that I brought through from other souls that are discarnate, and they just want you to know you're not alone, that they're with you. Even though you can't see them physically, they're there in your mind. They're there with a subtle touch, a whisper, a feeling, a thought, and they're still part of your life. They're still part of your soul experience, of your starlight. And so the more you can connect with that, just feeling their love, their reassurance that you're not alone. No one is ever alone. We don't come into this world alone, and we don't go out alone. There's always those support team. Every single soul has a support team. But, you know, the human, our human part of us gets in the way sometimes. It limits love coming to us because we fear it's not going to be part of our experience. We fear that we're not good enough. We fear that we're not the right type of person. We fear that we're not living the right kind of life. Don't do that to yourself. Just open up to that love from your support team. Open up to love, whether in the world, the human world, in the incarnate, those people in your life, who supports you? Who is there in your life right now to support you? And who is not? There's a wonderful exercise I've done over the many, many years, and I do this with all my groups, and it really, really works. So, if you want the results, be prepared, because whenever we do this exercise, and you do it over and over again each day, I wake up every single day, and I do this. And what it is, it's a vibration. It's sending out this frequency into the atmosphere around you. It's sending pure love around you. Remember, there's a universal law of like attracts like. And you will attract into your life what you put out. As I said earlier, like attracts like. It's a universal code, a universal law that you will receive what you put out. So what I tell clients to do, and it works really well, I always find if you write it in the mirror in the bathroom, whether with lipstick or you put a piece of paper and a pen and tape it up there, and you say it in the morning. Let's say you get out of the shower or the bath. You say it in the morning three times. And then say it at night 3 times, you know, so you're brushing your teeth. And just keep on doing that. And I promise you things will start shifting and your life will be very, very different. And the words, I'm going to give you some words to write down. These are the words I want you to write down. And these are the words you can use. And it works. So, okay, you ready for the words? Healthy am I. Happy am I. Holy am I. Healthy am I. Happy am I. Holy am I. So write it down. Healthy am I. Happy am I. Holy am I. Okay? And I'll put them on Facebook later, too, so you can get that. It's an affirmation. And it's very simple. Remember, the truth is very simple. We humans make it more complex. We get so caught up in the complexity of the simplicity. It doesn't need to be that way. So when you direct the energy, the healthy am I, bringing that health vibration, bringing up that vibration to yourself. Happy am I, joyful. You're telling yourself, I am happy. I'm bringing myself to vibration, a frequency of happiness all around me. And holy am I. You're telling yourself, you're telling the universe, I am a sacred vessel. I am a beautiful, loving, sacred vessel. I am special. I am holy. And I deserve that. So when you say, healthy am I, happy am I, holy am I, 3 times in the morning, 3 times at night, I'd say within the first month, you might notice things shifting. There'll be a big shift in awareness. And this is really interesting. Those in your life who don't truly love you for who you are, who are not connected with your soul, that truly don't honor you or are not embracing, empowering you, who are taking advantage of whatever it might be, whether it's friends, whether it's family, whether it's partnership, whatever it is, even a work situation, they'll be gone from your life. They'll be set free. Because if you stay in that vibration of healthy am I, happy am I, holy am I, you're setting up an atmosphere. You're setting up this frequency around you. And you're constantly building it with each time you say it. And remember the law, the universal law of like attracts like. So you will only attract into your space that which is of that higher frequency, that which is of love to you. Those beings, that energy which is not truly bringing you happiness, not truly bringing you a sense of healthy and well-beingness, those who don't bring you a sense of respect and holiness will be gone from your life. They'll slough away. They'll be gone. I've seen it happen. It's happened in my life with people that I thought were friends. They were not friends. Family members, they were not really truly there. And partners, whatever it might be, people working with, it works. And I'm telling you, you will only have that which you want of love, that truly love you. You will attract those soulmates, if you will, into your life who truly are really involved with your own healthiness, happiness, and holiness. It works. So I'm going to leave it at that. So let's see. I have another question here from Jenny. Jenny Valenvida. I think I'm pronouncing that wrong, but I love the name. Valenvida. Valenvida. I can pronounce that because I'm Dutch. I became a widow at age 30. Will my late husband help me in a new lifelong soulmate? For sure. And this is very, very common, Jenny. And this, I've done this many, many times, or many of my readings I've done, where partners have passed over, whether it's husbands or wives, they've passed over. And so many times they've said to the loved one, I'm going to find a new mate for you. And the person says, oh, I don't, no one could ever match that person. No, I don't believe that. Sure enough, they will do that. From their point of view, from their perspective, the spirit world, they can influence things to happen. And they can find the best, and they are a new matching the best in another soul. So it happens quite frequently. They will be matchmaker from heaven. Happens all the time. Matchmaker from heaven. I mean, they love you so much. They want your love. They want you to live a life of happiness, fulfillment, and love. So why wouldn't they set things up if they can? So they definitely will. It's happened so many times. So Jenny, there you go. So open up to love and receiving. Next one is from Lori Spangler. Lori, it's online dating a good, is online dating a good idea? Oh, let's talk about online dating now, shall we? To find your soulmate, or should you let the universe guide you? Well, why can't you do both? So there's options out there. It's very good that we have the online. But again, that's not going to do you any good. And it's not going to do you any good blind dates, other people set you up and things, if you don't have the relationship with yourself first. You first have to have that loving, honorable sense of self before you open yourself up. No one can fill that void. So if you don't love yourself first, how can someone else love you? If you don't have your light shining, how can they find it? They can't find it if you don't have it light shining. They can't come in the darkness, so you first have to shine that light out in order for them to see it. So online dating, set up from friends, it's all very good ways, different options, excellent. But you, it won't work not unless you have your alignment of your soul's energy, the alignment to source of your soul. That's what you have to have first, that sense of love and self. Okay, Lori? Please try that. And I have a lot of meditations, by the way, on my website, and which can help. I do a lot of different loving meditations that you can, guys can look up to. Okay, we have one from Char O. Char O, I'm worried my husband isn't my soulmate. Don't worry. Don't worry. There's something that attracted you to your soulmate, to him. There's lessons that your soul is learning. I wouldn't worry about it. Just see what lessons are you learning from each other. That's all. Soulmates will find each other. And there are all different types of soulmates. There's not just one. There are different soulmates. So you're meant to be with this person, and don't worry about it. Just don't. Just see the lessons that you're learning. It's all about experiences that you're having and sharing with each other. That's what it's about. That's where I want you to put your thoughts, Char. Don't put your thoughts on the negative with limitations, but in the positive and abundance. That's what we want to go to. Okay? Dan from Florida. Is it set in time for when you meet your soulmate? How to speed it up? Oh, yes, as human beings, we want it to happen right away. Let's say we're so used to this human level. To, you know, I got to take a pill. I'm sick. I'll take a pill. I'll be better. It doesn't work that way when you're talking about souls, when you're talking about eternal timing or universal timing or divine timing. You want quality. You know, you want quality of someone. You don't want quantity. You want quality. So that soulmate might be there for 2 days or 10 years or 80 years, but it's the quality. It's the lessons. Remember, it's so human of you. These questions are so human. You've got to connect with the soul essence. What is the soul lesson? What are the lessons you're learning from each other? That's the value of this. When you pass out of this human shell, you're going to look back and say, oh, I was so caught up in that humanness of it. No, you want to go through the experiences. It's worth waiting for. If you set it up to the universe and you do universal ordering of what you truly want and you send those ingredients out with a true sense of love, there's no way you can miss. No way you can miss, Dan. So again, going back to yourself, what relationship with yourself do you have? Do you honor yourself? Do you empower yourself? That's what you want to ask. That's really what a lot of people on the calls, they can see a lot of these questions, very, very similar, in that you want that magic. You can't have the magic without having the magic with self first. You first have to have that sense of yourself, that sense of joy of self, of loving yourself, and truly loving yourself, being honest with yourself. Love will find you. But, you know, it, again, I'm going to repeat this. I'm going to put this on my Facebook page, too, about the light. You have to light shine first in order for some another soul to see you. Your light has to shine because it's a good one. So that's true. So you have to have that relationship with yourself in order to for others to see you. And it doesn't matter. You can speed it up by loving yourself more. That's how you can speed it up, by loving yourself more. Remember, love brings together. Love attracts. Fear separates. So if you have that mindset of, I don't believe in myself, I don't love myself enough, then you're going to hold it back. So that's important to know, okay? So, and the timing is really, it's a very human thing because the soul, it's all about experiences. It's not about time. They're outside of time. Our natural vibration is outside of time. So just remember that. So, now, okay. Many people ask me the questions that people have because so many questions come in. Can I feel them coming? Well, yes. Yeah, so as I talked about earlier with the caller about meditating every day, putting yourself in that sacred space with your mind, opening yourself up and receiving and putting yourself, I'm better to receive, I'm ready to receive. And that's it. Don't be desperate. Don't limit consciousness. Don't limit the universe. Let yourself know it's coming to you. Again, using your intuition, that gut feeling of knowingness, that sense of knowingness, it'll be there. Sometimes we just say, when is it happening? When is it happening? It's that desperate energy. It's that fear energy. You don't want to do that because that limits the universe. You want to encourage limit. You want to encourage the universe to use that energy, not limit the universe in bringing that to you. So remember, the telltale signs to watch for is what makes you feel good about yourself. Does that other soul enhance you? What aspects of that soul are you looking for? You have to know specifically what you're looking for in order for that to be come into your space, come into your awareness. You have to do that, okay? All right. I want to go for a caller now, Redondo, California, and area code 310. 310-944. Hello, Redondo Beach, California.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Allie.
Allie, hi. Are you in Redondo Beach?
I'm in Torrance, California. Hi, Laura.
Oh, you're in Torrance. Oh, good. I'm good, Allie. How are you?
Good. Oh, this is so weird. I didn't know you would actually call me. I'm only 18, and I just feel so young.
You're only 18, but your soul is eternal. Your soul is ageless, so there is no time that chronological for your soul. You're a wise person, wise soul. You're an old soul because you're 18 and you're on this teleseminar. That tells me that you're a wise soul because you wouldn't be questioning these things or being interested in this if you weren't at a certain level of awareness. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Hey, I wrote a book that you should read called Looking Beyond. It's a
My mom bought that.
Oh, your mom bought it. Perfect. Okay, it's Looking Beyond, A Teenager's Guide to Spirit Life. Yeah, it's good. It's a good basic book. But you're kind of advanced, so you can read the other books I've written. So Heaven and Earth is a good book for you. You're very, very psychic, too. Did you know that?
Oh, wow.
You're very, very intuitive.
Oh, great. I wondered about that because I always feel things.
And you have animals around you, right? You have animals?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so I just know psychically, intuitively, the animals around your life or in your home, they connect with you. So in your soul, and for other callers too, your soul, animals can hear, can sense, and you can connect to the animal energy first. So you're intuitive, you're a healer, and the animals can recognize that energy of your soul. They recognize the soul's fabric.
Wow, that's so amazing.
Hey, Allie, a quick question here. Have you thought about going into the healthcare work or helping people that way?
I love acting, and I also love telling stories through animation, and I really want to help people move on through my stories and through my acting.
Okay, well, you're a healer, so acting is self-expression. So you're definitely going to express your own soul's energy, obviously, because everyone listening to your voice right now can feel your energy, and it's going to come out, and you're going to influence. Remember before I talked about the rippling effect. So remember, what you give out to people, there's a responsibility there, a sense of responsibility. You want to make everyone's life better. And I don't even really tell you this. I'm just reminding you and everyone listening that it's to make people's lives better than they were before they found them.
That is
right?
So wonderful.
And
yes.
I know you can do it. So good luck, and good luck with the car that you're going to get. I see you getting a car. So good luck.
I am.
With that.
Oh, my God.
I
actually had a question, though.
Okay.
Sorry. It'll be really fast because I actually wrote it down, so I'll read it kind of fast.
Okay. Okay.
But this is why I was attracted to this seminar just yesterday, and I'm going to read it. So the question is, if I actually found my soulmate. This is going to sound weird, but I feel like I have a really deep connection with a certain person, and he's actually a celebrity in Korea. We have never met, but in person I've seen him twice. At first I thought it was infatuation, but I soon realized after a few months that I thought about him continuously. I see him as a normal person, and I do not idolize him. I feel an undefinable type of love connection. When I look at his face, I feel at home and protected. Recently, I have decided to send him energy from my heart, and I truly believe that I am feeling his energy from my soul. And just this week, I told him that I will send him butterflies through the power of intention. I told him through this energy that he could also send me butterflies. Immediately, I saw a yellow butterfly. Ever since, I have seen yellow butterflies every day, and it always happens after I send heart energy to him. It's as if his soul is confirming that he hears my messages. Lastly, and a few days ago, I dreamt of a yellow monarch butterfly. And the next day, I went to Las Vegas, and the hotel was butterfly-themed with a yellow monarch butterfly on one of the walls. And everything like that. And your seminar had a picture of yellow monarch butterflies, and I was freaking out. And I'm like, am I going to meet this guy? Like, why do I have this weird connection to him?
Okay. Now, number one, it does not surprise me you tell me this, because obviously, like I just said, you're very advanced. You're an old soul. You're very wise. The magic of manifestation, you're very aware of that, how to connect on that level. So a soulmate, which I believe he is a soulmate, is a soul you've had many lifetime experiences with. Okay? So you've had many, many lifetime patterns and experiences, expressions, and you take different roles on, you different understand. It's like being an actor as you are, you take on different roles. Same thing. So there's this soul recognizes that other aspect of themselves, this other aspect of themselves with him, with the other soul. So that's what you're recognizing. You're recognizing that person has been a mate of yours a part of your soul group, if I could say that. And that's what you're just recognizing. And all of these things, yellow butterflies, monarch butterflies, and it's all validation, as you know. It's just validating what you already know is truth.
So he does feel me in that way?
He recognizes you. He recognizes your soul colors. I don't know why I'm saying that to you, but he recognizes your soul colors. So don't drop into the human part of you. Stay up at the soul level and let it happen. Don't push it, because then it comes to that desperation. All right? You have the magic.
Yeah.
You have the manifestation magic in you. You can do it. Just let it be in the universal time, not your time.
Thank you so much.
You're very
amazing.
Welcome. Okay, Allie, lots of love. Good luck, sweetheart. I'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. Okay, we have another call from Norwalk, Connecticut, and area code 203-644. Hello? Norwalk, Connecticut. That's you're up late. Less. Area code 203-644 is the number. Anybody there with that?
I think I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. What is your name?
Mary.
Mary. Hi, Mary. Are you in Norwalk, Connecticut?
I didn't realize my phone was, but I guess it is. Yeah. I am. Oh. I'm in Connecticut.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. You have a question?
I do. I've been listening to the different questions, so this is one that still I feel like would be not necessarily directly related to soulmates, but I wondered about the energy bodies that we share with each other, and the question that keeps kind of surrounding me a little bit is, what is the effect of, like, a strong energy body on other people let's call it, area, like, in the room, in your life, and vice versa? Like,
well, look at it this way. So look at that we're light. So let's say energy is light. That makes it easier. And there's a certain frequency of light that you express, that you are, that your soul is this light, okay? So everybody is a certain light. So when you are an empathetic person, a sensitive and intuitive, if you will, you use that energy of your soul's voice, you will become very, very aware of the space of energy around you. Not only around you, but every room that you go into, you'll feel the energy. Whether you feel the energy of people that have just been there or people that will be coming into that space, when you're sensitive, you'll feel energy both different ways. So the first thing is to get in tune with what kind of energy you're feeling. What does it feel like? What degree of description of the energy? You know what I'm saying? And energy body, we all have energy bodies. It's just a matter of, let's say light. It's light, the frequency. And those that you want to draw into you, how can I put this? Increase the flame, increase that light frequency. That's really what we want as far as bringing that soulmate energy to us and around us. And what I can say to you is fear, negativity, sending out negative thoughts, that can block that light. And if you send that to somebody with an intention, negative intention, it'll appear in their inner energy body. So if you send a negative thought, that will manifest. And you might, if you're an empathetic person or a clairvoyant, you can see sometimes thought forms from other people into that person's energy field. You can see, and sometimes you can see where it comes from, where the source is. And you see like little shadows or little blocks there. So, again, you got to be responsible for what you send to somebody and just got to be aware of your own alignment, of your own energetic self with source energy. I hope that answers your question.
So that would a strong energy body...
how do you get a strong energy body? You increase it through meditation, through love. So loving self or meditation or bring yourself to a very strong sort of vibration. That's a strong energy body, increasing that sense of love, that loving energy body around you. That's what you do. It's a strong energy is, let's say, love, okay? So you can bring that up and expand it through that thoughts of love and whether acts of compassion and kindness, forgiveness. That's how you increase the energy body.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, you're very, very welcome. Thank you, sweetheart. So also another person is asking me about karma. So, and it's really, I mean, so many questions here. Does karma have to do with attracting a soulmate? Yes and no. So karma is really just energy. I don't like to judge karma, but karma is really, it's energy what you give out. So in the past, whether certain obligations of the soul to learn certain things, karma is just patterns of energy that you're giving out. positive, negative. I don't like to put judgment on it. It's just lessons that you're learning. So karma could be like you behaved in a past life. You had an experience where you used hatred. You were unkind. You killed somebody, whatever it might be. And in this lifetime, you're going to have to learn the opposite of that. And maybe, you know, what it's like not to use hatred, not to use judgment, but to be kind and compassionate and peaceful instead of the opposite. So there might be certain situations that present themselves into your soul's life to show you those scenarios, who force you to look at something, to be kinder, to be more compassionate. A lot of people here are asking about suicide also. So how does suicide play in a soul's progression? Well, there are all different types of suicide. So a soul who is, whether it's a mental handicap, that they're mentally challenged, let's say, or the bipolar, it's a very, very different experience than somebody whose Google stock went down, they jump out the window because their stock went down. If there's a very healthy physical body, the soul has to respect that and know that, wow, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I was 30 years old and I killed myself. When they get to the other side of life, when they that awareness there, they'll look back and say, oh, wow, I really had a great body, a very physical body. I shouldn't have done that to that physical body. That was an opportunity. That was a gift that was given to me. I shouldn't have ended that way. That was just an opportunity for growth. And they'll work that out in the spirit world. It's very, very different than someone who has a mental disease or a problem there, or some where they're not aware, and they leave the body that way. So it's a very different circumstance. So we always got to look at the intention behind the act, whether it's suicide, whether it's all different types of behaviors, taking someone's life, war. It's all different types of circumstances. But the most important thing to realize and remember is the soul can never die. The soul is always whole. The soul is always about love. There's light. And really, when we put darkness and evil, I don't believe in evil. I think that's man-made. I think that the mind is fear-based. We are true loving spiritual beings. So I have a little bit of homework for you. I'd like to give you some homework and leave you with a little exercise to do so you can carry on with me. And always come back to me on my Facebook page and give me some feedback, because I'd like to find out what happens to you. I'm going to give you 2 weeks. So today, well, anyone listening later on can do it also, but a two-week time period. And I want you to do, so mark that on your calendars, 2 weeks. What I want you to do is I want you to write on your, whether it's a mirror, whether a piece of paper, those three, the affirmation I gave you, those words, healthy am I, happy am I, holy am I. So I'll say it again. Healthy am I, happy am I, holy am I. Healthy am I, happy am I, holy am I. Okay? So those are the three affirmations. Now, tomorrow, start off, write down what you think about yourself. Write down a page, just a paragraph of yourself. So let's say it's a biography of you, it's a eulogy of you, okay? What do you think of yourself and your circumstances right now? Okay? Then make it one paragraph. Then look at the calendar and mark 2 weeks. Now, every single morning and evening, you're going to do that affirmation, healthy am I, happy am I, holy am I. For 2 weeks, don't miss a day. Don't skip a day. I want you to be consistent for 14 days. At the end of 14 days, I want you to sit back down and write another paragraph of what you think about yourself and your life then. And then I want you to look and see the difference between what you first wrote and then 2 weeks later, after you use the affirmation and you change and shift the energy, how your life has changed. The other thing I want you to do tonight is if you're looking for that soulmate, I want you to start to write a biography of the soulmate. What do you expect in that person? The qualities, the characteristics, the likes, the dislikes, maybe in physical traits, that's fine. What essence, what energy? And I just want you to write that out and really describe it perfectly. So if I had an artist come into this room and they could just go based upon all those personal traits that you wrote down, they could paint a wonderful portrait of that soulmate for you. Yes? So do that as well. And then I want you to stay in touch with me on Facebook, my James O'Frog public page there, and I'll be doing many different live Facebook chats and some Periscope and some Twitter, so make sure you're engaged, as we say. And I'm going to do some more teleseminars. I think this was really great, and I really appreciate you being here and sharing this and staying in touch with me. And I really would like to hear the results of what happened when you did these exercises in the 2 weeks. So stay in touch. So wherever you are in the world, my love, my light to all of you. God bless you, and know the universe is here to help you. And so it is.